Teach me tonight.
Little Jimmy Smith on the Hammond. Jeff Bennett here. Thursday night. 28th day of January. You kind of surprised me with that music tonight, given what I shared with you. I figured we'd open with our normal Wednesday night music, but it's okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Oh, my goodness. What a day this has been. I don't remember much of yesterday and last night and what time I finally got to bed or anything else. I slept hard, but it's one of those nights that was up and down and up and down, and got up early this morning and had a lot of running to do. And I had to go take care of some service on a vehicle. I got things done before I left. I forgot to do one thing, which could wait till tomorrow. Tonight's program has pretty well been ready since last night. Everything I did throughout the course of last night, today, I've got tomorrow's program ready to go. Interesting stuff going on. Wow. What be done the markets do today? Well, rhodium's back on the climb again. Yesterday it was at 16,000 an ounce, up to 16,750. And that's my phone ringing, which will be the school. That's right, just about 16. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Palladium up $2 at 2,264. Platinum up $2 at 1,068. Silver right now is down about a nickel, but it's had a good day today, up in the 2660 range. Gold has closed down another dime today, down to 1843. Isn't that about the time that they had the, you know, they discovered the California gold rush business? I don't know. Give me a second. I got one more thing to pull up here. I've not been doing it because I got to be honest with you. For the most part, I don't give a damn. All the bubble news has been the stock market. Oh, my God, look what's happened. And I got a note from Gwen that apparently some major stock market stuff caused, you know, I don't know, phones or Facebook or some darn thing to crash yesterday. GameStop and AMC stocks have bounced back after the Robin Hood. What the hell is Robin Hood and his merry band of men? I don't know. Let's see, the Dow is up 300 today, but still down about 300 from where it was a day or so ago. Currently at 30,603, S&P 500 up 36 at 3787, NASDAQ up 66.5 at 13,337. Of course, you know, that's where you get your dollar stocks. Global Dow, who gives a rip? Global Dow, for some reason, always seems to stay in the same general range as the S&P 500. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah, well, they're showing gold currently at 1839, up $1.80. We're showing a little higher than that. Oil was down about 12 cents today, currently at 52-something. It's ticking me off. I saw something on Facebook last night that made all the sense in the world. 2 days after the election, in one part of the country, a gallon of gasoline was, you know, whatever it was, and now it's up to $2.15. Well, about 2 days after the election, gold was $2.15 around here, and now it's up around $2.45. It's unbelievable, simply unbelievable. Something over on Federal Observer, at Morgana Precious Metals, and I am not going to be concentrating on this tonight. A very, very interesting piece entitled "Nixon Closed the Gold Window, and All I Got Was This Lousy National Debt." Time goes on, my friends. This year marks the 50th anniversary of Nixon severing America and the world from its last tie to the gold standard. And the rapid devaluing of the dollar is the most obvious result. But another consequence has been an enormous national debt that continues to grow at staggering paces. Most folks don't realize it, but this is a direct and intentional result of the current fiat monetary system. Now, that is all I'm going to share with you, because I have other directions to go tonight. In a roundabout way, it's somewhat of a continuation of our normal theme on Wednesday nights, because I found what is being offered is quite profound. I feel that you need to have this shared with you. Also, Gwen had sent me something over shortly before going on the air that there apparently is a legal way to get out of being forced into taking the vaccines. And I'm going to get into that later and see what I can do to get that published tonight. I think it's important, people. I know that a lot of you folks don't tune in to listen to health-related stuff because, after all, who the hell am I and what the hell do I possibly know? Well, 20 years of this stuff, and at least as relates to the health-related stuff. And it's something that angers me. It's something that's all being dropped on us badly. Very, very badly. So get a look at that piece a little later when you can. Nixon closing the gold window. All I got was this lousy national debt. Pretty interesting and profound piece. The author writes for a very high impact, well-known website and whatever. This came out a couple of days ago. I'm not going to share the whole story. I'm just going to give you the headline. This is quite unique. A man named James, who does give his last name in the video, is a certified nursing assistant. And he recorded a video as a whistleblower because he could not keep silent any longer. He reported that in 2020, very few residents in the nursing home where he worked got sick with COVID. And none of them died during the entire year of 2020. And yet, shortly after administering the Pfizer experimental mRNA injections, 14 of those patients died within 2 weeks. And he reported as of 2 days ago that many others are near death. He makes it very clear in the video that there were patients he knew and cared for. The man also happens to be a lay pastor. And that after being injected with the mRNA shot, residents who used to walk on their own can no longer walk. They used to carry on an intelligent conversation with him, could no longer talk, and now they are dying, dropping like flies, he says. And he's calling on other CNAs and nurses and family members to go public and tell the world what's going on with these experimental COVID injections. How many more lives need to be lost before we say something? If you know what's happening but you're not speaking out, then you are part of the problem. And some of you that are listening tonight have an awareness of these things because of your own family members, etc., then it becomes imperative that you speak out. Enough of that story. But in a roundabout way, it's somewhat of an introduction to a piece that came to me last night by the author. A man I've got a massive amount of respect for. I like the way he writes. He begins by saying that a close doctor friend of his, whose name he will withhold, has urged him to get vaccinated. Well, the doctor works with COVID patients. The doctor has been vaccinated, and thus far has experienced no problems, at least as of a couple of days ago. Well, the author says she plans to visit me in a few weeks and will be horrified if she infected me with the virus. But if I had some sort of immunity, she would feel much better, she said. Well, I don't work with patients of any kind. I've not been vaccinated for anything since childhood, our author begins, with the exception of a tetanus shot some years ago. Each year the flu comes and goes. Each year it has missed me. Our author is 77. He has a healthy BMI. He stays active, but have what everyone calls a comorbidity, COPD, that originated in his genes. Now, to the best of my knowledge, I don't have COPD. I'm reasonably healthy. I've had some issues this year, many of which have been brought on by stress. Good evening, Dr. E. Being in a possession of a lung disease and an accumulation of many years, one could argue that our author is ripe for a virus attack. He says, being in possession of a lung disease and an accumulation of many years, one could argue that he is ripe for a virus attack. Is a vaccine, therefore, the best way to fend off the invader? Does it promise immunity? Are there better options? How do I defeat this monster called COVID-19? And he goes on to say that I remind myself that all life is threatened to some degree in every second of the day. We can take acknowledged precautions, but they don't come with a guarantee. He said a beloved cousin of mine died in his sleep last year. He lived clean, was younger than me, had just finished building a kayak, and was looking forward to a 350-mile group bicycle tour later that week. Close friend had always been a paragon of healthy living, but still came down with multiple myeloma. But his pro-life attitude never wavered, and he lives cancer-free today. Our author says, I also remind myself that science is conducted under political authority. A roundabout way, we discussed some of that last night. Truth is not in the facts, but in how it supports the insatiable hunger for power and revenue. We've witnessed all this over the years with cancer research, always researching, always funding, but never finding. Anyone who says they found a cure, especially if it's cheap, becomes a hunted animal. And we know who's doing the hunting, baby. No, I'm not talking about Hillary and, you know, all the mysterious deaths that surround her and her hubby. You know, Bubba. It's Big Pharma. It's Big Medical. The AMA. American Murder Association, in my personal opinion. Opinion. Under the current COVID tyranny, doctors who announce unapproved effective treatments such as hydroxychloroquine get hit over the head. And we talked about that last night. Remember we talked about the Lancet. The Lancet has come out and said, we put some incorrect information out. hydroxychloroquine is doing a real good job. But you see, researchers who recommend nutritional supplements or something as common as fresh air and sunshine face the same penalty. And yet Americans once embraced natural remedies. During the pandemic of 1918, medics found that severely ill flu patients nursed outdoors recovered better than those treated indoors. The combination of fresh air and sunlight seemed to have prevented deaths among patients and infections among medical staff. And there's scientific support for all that. Research shows that outdoor air is a natural disinfectant. Fresh air can kill the flu virus and other harmful germs. And equally, sunlight is germicidal. There's now evidence that it can kill the flu virus. But today, acceptable cures come only from politically connected pharmaceutical companies. You know, vaccine development, as I shared with you in the past on this program, is normally at least a multi-year, a five-year, multi-billion-dollar undertaking. And guess who pays for it? We the peeps, man. The hapless public. And so upstarts who promote supplements threaten the public's willingness to accept a rushed vaccine. Oh, they need to be brushed aside. They also, of course, threaten a major revenue stream. And yet, when one considers the history of vaccines, there's every reason to respect them. Vaccines have wiped out smallpox and measles, so why not COVID-19? Oh, sure, there's obvious political support for a vaccine, but that doesn't rule one out as a panacea. Compounding a layman's search for a sound understanding is the ever-shifting positions of authoritative sources. Should the public wear masks? No, says the NA or the NEJM in April. And then later in July, it said yes. Well, not exactly. Their earlier post was really a yes that was misinterpreted. I mean, how stupid of us that we fell for that. Is the RT-PCR test being administered in a reliable manner? Well, we don't know, but we're told that any test that exceeds a cycle threshold count of 35 is certainly highly suspect and could produce a false positive, which is better than a positive falsity, I guess. Even the esteemed Dr. Fauci agrees. But wait. Here's a PhD in virology who says that the false positive PCR problem is not a problem. But this guy's flip-flop like a damn yo-yo anyway, isn't he? Because regardless of all of that, most labs don't report CT. A positive test comes from a positive test becomes a case, whether or not the person shows symptoms. And as testing increases, cases increase, become terrifying headlines, scaring the hell out of a compliant public. You know, this is getting worse every day. Oh yeah, wearing one mask is good, but wearing two is better. And now I've heard somebody talking about three and four. How many layers of masks? I mean, come on, folks. Take a big, fat Polish sausage and shove it down your throat so you can't breathe, because the end result's going to wind up being the same. Yeah, I know. We know that people are getting sick and some are dying. And it is serious. Deadly serious. And the majority of them passing are elderly. Of course, assuming that we have a choice, should we get vaccinated when our demographic becomes eligible? Well, here's how our author decided. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, Tozina Moran, a.k.a. Comirnaty, is one of two vaccines being given to the public. Now, the FDA gave emergency use authorization to the community or whatever the heck it's called. That sounds like a mispronunciation of the word community, doesn't it? Community? They gave that emergency use approval on December the 11th, and a week later issued an EUA to Moderna for their vaccine. Both vaccines require two shots and work much the same way. Now, according to Comirnaty's official description, it is for people 16 years of age or older, contains a messenger RNA molecule, that's the mRNA, with instructions to produce a SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. And here's how they describe it. When a person is given the vaccine, some of their cells will read the mRNA instructions and temporarily produce the spike protein. Of course, then the person's immune system will then recognize this protein as foreign and produce antibodies and activate T cells, that's white blood cells, to attack it. Now, if later on the person comes into contact with SARS-CoV-2 virus, their immune system will recognize it and be ready to defend the body against it. Of course, the mRNA from the vaccine does not stay in the body, but it's broken down shortly after vaccination. It's broken down, but how do you get rid of it? Number one or number two? I don't know. So now, continuing to read their description, it goes on to say that efficacy was calculated in over 36,000 people from 16 years of age, including people over 75 years of age, who had no sign of previous infection. And the study showed a 95% reduction in the number of symptomatic COVID-19 cases in the people who received the vaccine. But the impact of vaccination with Comirnaty on the spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus in the community, my friends, is not yet known. It's not yet known how much vaccinated people may still be able to carry and spread the virus. It's not even really known if the vaccine is going to help cure the virus. Or is it just setting us up for the next one, because we've begun to hear about another variation of this that's beginning to expand around the globe. All right, so there are three points to consider in all of this. Neither Pfizer nor Moderna can be held liable if you become ill or worse after being vaccinated. Wait a minute. If you become ill or worse, what's worse than becoming ill? Oh, that's right, dying. You cannot sue them until the year 2024. The quickest vaccine ever developed prior to 2020 was for mumps, which took 4 years to create and was licensed in 1967. And yet Pfizer began pushing their COVID vaccine out after only 8 months with the FDA's blessing, of course. The trials, of course, excluded immunocompromised patients, and they excluded immunocompromised patients and pregnant or breastfeeding women. I don't know why that would bother them, because if it happened to kill a baby, that just gives them more little goodies to use to put in their other drugs to sell down the pike. And number three, the goal of the trials was to show that the vaccine prevented symptomatic disease in the vaccine recipient. It was not to show reduction in severe COVID-19, hospital admission or ICU or even death. It was not designed to show interruption of transmission, person-to-person spread. In other words, the vaccine might not reduce your chances of going to the hospital or kicking the bucket. And it might not reduce the likelihood of passing it on to others. And so, in all fairness, the vaccine makers, Because most people with symptomatic COVID-19 experience over only mild symptoms. And even trials involving 30,000 or more patients would turn up relatively few cases of severe disease. All of which begs the question, with most people experiencing only mild symptoms or symptoms, why the panic of rushing a COVID-19 vaccine to market, especially when there are well-known over-the-counter prophylactics such as quercetin, zinc, vitamin C, melatonin, vitamin D? All these things are available. Well, then there's that alternative stuff. You know, can't do that stuff. But we're told to wear masks, stay distant, stay home, help reduce the spread. Because if you take the vaccine, folks, none of that's going to change. It's all about the control factor. You go down the highways here in the Phoenix area, and there's never a warning if there's a big accident up front, because if there's an accident and somebody dies, I'm sure they'll brand it COVID. If you're not feeling good, stay home. This is what the flashing billboards above the highway are saying. If you don't feel good, stay home. Don't spread the virus. You know, if we were fighting a war, we would be killing ourselves before confronting the enemy. Because with few exceptions, everyone's wearing a mask, mandated or not. And guess what? A bunch of them folks get sick too. Well, yeah, when you're cutting off a natural oxygen supply, which as we discussed a little earlier in this presentation tonight, what a healthy thing that fresh air is. But they want to cut off this oxygen supply stuff. You know, the worst part of wearing masks, aside from health issues, is the obedience which they reflect. Obedience to Fauci? He even once said that most people don't need him. So a Dr. Simone Gold has suggested pushing back by going without a mask, not only for yourself, but to serve as a role model for others to do the same. While I was having my car serviced this morning, getting an oil change, I had to go walk across the street to my credit union and take care of some business over there. And while I was there, I decided to do something I've not done since probably last March. I went to Starbucks. Now, this particular one is drive-through or walk-up only. It's never been an open store. It's just, it's a walk-up place. And it's, you know, 125 feet away from my credit union, so I'm going to go get some good coffee. And, of course, I walk up. There's a guy got a mask on, but he's walking around. He's not getting upset because I don't have one, and he's an older guy, probably close to my age. Walked over, took care of what I came with, went to do. I didn't have a mask on up at the window. The gal didn't give any garbage about it because, oh, that's right, we're separated by a window. Went to the credit union, played their game over there. Went back to go back across the street. I had to walk across four lanes, whatever. And walked back by Starbucks, and two guys up there with a mask. But earlier on, there was another guy up there before I went to the credit union. Drove up with a big pickup truck, had no mask on. Neither did I. We started talking a bit. He says, screw him. I ain't doing it anymore. And we basically have got the same mindset. It's the fresh air. It's the sun. What sun? It's been raining here for a week. So consider this before we go to the break. If we were fighting a war, oop, we're going to the break. We'll pick up when we come back. Stick around. Got a license to break my heart. And every love of parent over. Over before it gets a chance to start. Oh! If it ain't here, maybe in the hereafter.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Forgot to change the cart to the health music. Thought I did. Who cares? You know, it's very interesting. Well, I was talking about money early on, but well, let's face it, in a roundabout way, we're still talking about money. Got something for you here. That I told you that Gwen had sent over to me earlier. Gwen's a longtime listener and client and a friend and. She sent something over to me a while ago on Skype, and I just got a large blow up from somebody I've known for years. Used to be a government employee, and she ain't no fan. It's entitled How to Legally Decline a Vaccine. Step one, do not refuse a vaccine. Otherwise, you will be considered belligerent but instead you can politely decline the service by doing the following. Step 2. Ask the doctor, does the vaccine have MRC-5 in it? And they all do, by the way. These are aborted fetal cells and other DNA, people. If the vaccine contains MRC-5, you have the right to decline it. Step 3. Also ask, is there a possibility of a iatrogenic reaction, which is an adverse reaction caused by multiple compounds or drugs interacting with one another from the vaccine? Guess what? They all do. When the doctor tells you, yes, it does, that is your get out of vaccine free card. Thank the doctor for their offer and walk away. Now, some things to keep in mind here. Yes, doctors have sworn the Hippocratic Oath, which is to do no harm. They must honor it. This is how we can legally and respectfully decline their offered mandated services, and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. So now you know. I will have this posted later tonight. Please share it with everyone you care about. Now, having said all of this, I found one little tiny quirky thing in this how to legally decline a vaccine. One word in this presentation is a British spelling. They must honor H-O-N-O-U-R. So is this something that was provided in the UK? How does it affect our situation? Originally, this particular piece was posted on Facebook.com/holistology, as in holistic. Keep those things in mind. You'll get a look at this. Some of you may have seen this already. What has that got to do with this? I just got this. I'm sitting here saying, what the heck is this? I'm talking about this, and all of a sudden I get this text. Don't forget that first responders was, it all has to do with free car washes for first responders. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Let's return to a commentary by our author, and I will share with you later who he is. He states that all the data that I've seen suffers from serious corruption. Testing is flawed because of the high thresholds of CT35, which generate false positives. Cases are defined as a positive test, whether or not symptoms are present. You see, hospitals are rewarded financially for coding a patient as COVID, even if they have not been tested in some states. As a study finding no asymptomatic transmission, followed later by one finding asymptomatic transmission, only blows more smoke in our faces. Which I suppose is the excuse they'll use, that's all the more reason you need to wear a mask. So how can you protect yourself? Begin, my friends, with something called common sense. If you're feeling well enough to go about your life, if you're sick, you're not feeling good, stay away from people till you're feeling better. Cover your mouth from coughing or sneezing. Guess what? I don't tend to cough until I'm forced to cover my nose. Yeah, I've been able to prove that. Keep your immune system strong. The ways of achieving this are almost without limit, but they include adequate sleep. Something I ain't getting. Regular exercise. A diet high in nutrients and low in sugar. Little or no alcohol. Positive attitude. Yeah, that's supposed to minimize stress. Let me emphasize that. A positive attitude, not fear and depression. One more thing. Relax. Have fun with friends and family. It's an activity that was all but banned in the year 2020. You see, as we age, and I certainly have, and I'm sure some of you have, Our immune system does need help. Based on experiences, based on what I've read, based on the counsel I often get from Dr. E, I've got high regard for supplements. But keep in mind, the medical establishment regards nutritional supplements with disdain. As one nurse put it, they laugh at the suggestion that they can be effective. We're talking about the medical establishment as a whole. The medical establishment laughs at the suggestion that nutritional supplements can be effective in preventing or treating anything, including COVID. But nutritional supplements are safe. If you doubt it, my friends, look around. Where are the bodies? I ain't dead yet. Conversely, pharmaceutical drugs properly prescribed and taken as directed kill about 106,000 Americans a year. That's about 2,000 people a week dead from their medically established prescriptions. Some physicians estimate the true number of drug-induced deaths to be far, far higher. My God, the deaths by drug overdoses this year, the deaths by suicide, because all this COVID stuff is just beating people to death. Scare stories notwithstanding, taking supplements is not the problem. It is a solution. Malnutrition is the problem. And so let's talk a little bit about some of the most powerhouse vitamins. Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. Vitamin C we all know about. The way in which vitamin C fights infection is fairly simple. Infections and toxins cause oxidative stress within the body. Vitamin C is attracted to the cells that have lost their electrons due to the oxidation process and easily gives up its own, which then neutralizes the potentially harmful cells. And with a consistent and healthy antioxidant level, dangerous cells are not allowed to proliferate, and we don't get sick. Oh, sure, vitamin C has its detractors, but let me tell you about Linus Pauling. Here's a guy that took 18,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. And, of course, he was ridiculed for it. But it's interesting to note that Dr. Pauling had two more Nobel Prizes than any of his critics. Died at the age of 93. Abram Hoffer, M.D., a colleague of Pauling's, took mega doses of vitamin C, successfully gave it to thousands of patients over the age of 55. I'm sorry, gave it to thousands of patients over a period of 55 years of medical practice. Dr. Hoffer died at the age of 91. So that's vitamin C. So now we're getting into a little bit more of the alphabet. Now we're going to talk about D. Vitamin D. One of the most convincing studies found was an Israeli population study conducted last year in which 14,022 subjects aged from 2 months up to 103 years of age were tested for both COVID-19 and plasma 25OH. D levels, vitamin D. And after excluding the 6,215 individuals without data on plasma 25, the study sample composed of 7,807 individuals. Only 782 of those people, that's roughly 10%, tested positive, which is itself encouraging given the unknown testing procedure. And of those with a positive test, 79 people had sufficient levels of vitamin D, while 703 had poor vitamin D levels. And so what we found there is that the main finding of that study was that the low plasma 25OHD level association with COVID-19 hospitalization as a risk factor particularly for patients tested positively for COVID-19, after adjusting for their age, their gender. Sorry, folks, but gender to me means he, she, him, her, Mr., Mrs. You catch my drift. I'm not playing the other game. There's also SES, or socioeconomic status, chronic, mental, physical disorders. All these things were taken into consideration. And yet, low 25 OHD level was identified as independently associated with the likelihood of COVID-19 infection. And interestingly enough, that finding coming out of Israel is in agreement with the results of other studies from places around the world. Well, our alphabet gets a little short here tonight because we go from C to D to Z. Zinc, well known as a fighter of the common cold. If it's taken early enough after onset of the sickness, from the renowned Dr. Mercola, who states once inside your cells, zinc prevents viral replication, which is also why zinc and zinc ionophores need to be taken very early in the illness or as a prophylactic. There's no sexual reference there, okay? A protection layer. The problem is that zinc is largely insoluble. It cannot easily enter through the fatty wall of your cells. Getting all the way into the cell is crucial, as this is where the viral replication occurs. And that's why zinc ionophores like HCQ or quercetin are so important. And so, preliminary data, by the way, also suggests people with low zinc levels are more likely to die from COVID than those with higher levels. Each unit increase of plasma zinc at admission to hospital was associated with a 7% reduced risk of in-hospital mortality. Pretty profound, isn't it? All of this coming from a writer who is not a doctor. He's a human being that apparently is a few years older than I am, that has just learned how to take care of himself. He's reached out. He's read. He's studied. He's experimented and worked with the alternatives. He has taken responsibility for his own health, which is all I ever attempt to get you to do. Well, our writer, George Smith, says I could be dead by the time you read this. But I will not have died without a fight. For science is never settled. And what is good for one person might be life-threatening for another. He says, I live as I always have, without a mask, with no fear of getting close to others, getting plenty of exercise, but with a religious obedience to daily supplements. And of all the choices I'm aware of, healthy living is the best way of keeping enemies at bay. He concludes by saying, I hope my good doctor friend will still pay this unvaccinated old guy a visit. George Smith, this piece was actually written and published 10 days ago. And I came across it, and I am drawn to these things. By the way, just for poops and giggles, if you should happen to go to drkelly.info, where I have already published this article, with some interesting links that would be well worth following, there's a segment on the site that's not actually an active category. It's just called Granny's Pharmacy. Over on the right-hand side, it's directly below the little picture for On the Air. And it's an interesting one because it shows an old closet It's actually not a closet. It's a cabinet that's been built and designed in a certain way that has all sorts of little things that can be mixed and ground together to make many of these alternative medicines that historically were so beneficial so many years ago. I have other pictures that I want to rotate in there for fun and games, but there's something about the Granny's Pharmacy that just interests the daylight out of me. I need to go in there and do a couple of adjustments. I hope you found some benefit out of this. And there's one image on here that shows a doctor standing here in the hospital talking to a nurse, and in the background is a little door marked research laboratory, if you will. And the doctor is looking at the nurse holding up a piece of paper saying, well, yes, finding a cure for cancer would be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but remember that not finding it is how we butter our bread. And that is my feeling of the medical community as a whole. And believe me, many of them are. Hope you've gotten some benefit out of this. It's interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm a little strange. Yeah, by the way, the title of this piece I wrote is called Smith versus the Virus. For the purposes of the program, I tend to come up with titles for these programs. And about an hour ago, I sent Michael a notice as to what the title of tonight's program would be. Oh, you're laughing, my dear. I see a late note from Gwen. Let's see, where's this? Oh, the title of tonight's program, because of my twisted sense of humor, is called Pocahontas, Captain John Smith, and the Virus. But as I mentioned, that's my twisted sense of humor. There'll be a minor correction on that typing, Michael, if you take a look at it. Oops, I got to hit edit. Tomorrow, we'll be dealing with another Smith. And this is something that he submitted several pieces to me the other night that I just did not get around to. That would probably help. Also, a little hyphen between John and Smith. I think the way I spelled Pocahontas has got some other innuendos. Yeah, that's fine. Innuendos. Pocahontas. That's my Walter Cronkite routine. So please, a little unusual program for me for a Friday night tomorrow. I hope you'll join us for it. I basically have had this ready since very late last night. I'm beginning to take some meds that I should have been taking for a while. And it's starting to help. I'm still a little slow some nights, a little groggy some mornings. But my days are starting to get a little longer. I'm starting to sleep a little longer. And not wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning saying I'm bored, I got to get out of here. A piece I posted on Federal Observer late today called 7 Days in January. It's well worth the read. A little bit of laughter, just the opening photograph of Joe allegedly sitting at the Oval Office, that's Joey, asking the question, what am I signing? And underneath it, it's just the words say, just sign it. Signed, Kay Harris, VP. But what's posted along with it is well worth looking at. 7 Days in January. Yeah. Another interesting piece by Thomas Sowell, Common Sense in a Senseless World. Massive respect for this man. He and Walter Williams were friends for many, many, many years. Little by little, I've started posting more on Dr. Kelly once again. I was a little slow on it for quite a while. We've got the new piece up on that I told you about on Morgana Precious Metals. Most of my day tomorrow is going to be concentrating on having lengthy discussions about getting my websites moved and getting them away from GoDaddy. I'm going to get into a battle with the amount of money they've charged me for something that was an absolute farce. They're forcing me to get into something that I've found is totally voluntary, that they basically let it be known that, no, you have to do this, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, they lied. And I'm going to combat the bill, and I'm going to go right to the... I was knocked off the air on satellite? Uh-oh. Since 8:30. Still off now. I just got the word. Very interesting. You might want to be aware of that, Michael. Hey, we're out of here. Thanks. Another relaxed evening tonight. I feel good. Well, who knows? My friend Ken, he says there's a few channels that RBN's not able to get on their satellite. Does happen occasionally, but maybe it's that, what is that, woodpecker stuff? I don't know. You guys all take care of yourselves. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for being with us. Down by the shore, an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying. When they begin the beginning, to live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what raptures serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin the beginning, suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.